I want you to imagine this morning that you are this remarkable man called Zacchaeus. You live in the most beautiful part of the world. Tourists used to come and look at Jericho. It was a little paradise with palm trees and rose gardens. Herod the Great made it an even more beautiful place. There was a grand winter palace in Jericho, a theatre and a hippodrome. And the climate was ideal. People went down from Jerusalem to Jericho because it was a very mild climate. One of the things that Jericho was famous for was the balm trees, the balm that came from balsam trees. It was a fragrant, soothing, highly regarded medicine. Great trade took place in Jericho. There were other things that were a nice little earner for the Roman government, who clamped taxes on the goods going into and out of Jericho. There were the tax collectors, and they made a nice little income, and especially the chief tax collector in the area. There were great trade connections with Damascus and also with Tyre and Sidon in the north, and Caesarea and Joppa in the west, and Egypt in the south. And here you are in this beautiful area. Here you are in this flourishing area. And you are VIP. And you're not only a VIP, you're a very rich VIP as well. Your name means the righteous one. And one day you hear that this remarkable person, Jesus, is coming to town. It may be that you've heard that he has an ex-tax collector among his own disciples, and you may have heard that the religious establishment complained that Jesus ate with tax collectors and also sinners. So maybe in your own mind you thought that here is somebody, at least in this world, who has a regard for tax collectors, and you are curious and you want to see him. But you have a problem because you are a little titch. You are a little man. You've been scooping in money. You've been collecting taxes on behalf of the Roman government. You are levying taxes on imports and exports. And your whole life is about money. And you manage others to do the collecting to you. And at times there were no fixed rates. You merely charge what the traffic could bear. But you know that you were the most unpopular man in Jericho. Because had you been a tax collector, would have been bad enough. To be a chief tax collector is even worse. And tax collectors were regarded as renegades, as traitors, for they were in the service of a foreign oppressor. But that day, you want to see Jesus. And you go, and there's a big crowd around him. And were you a rich and respected person, they would have let you through. But they wouldn't. You couldn't get near the Lord Jesus because of the crowd. And you thought at times that you heard them say, "Keep money bags out. Don't let him through." If you were rich and respected, they would have let you through because the culture of the day allowed that. And you're a determined little man. You had to be to do your job. For you had to seek out the taxes that were your due. And you run ahead, hoping that you can outrun the crowd. And you climb a sycamore tree. And you know that in your particular culture, that Middle Eastern adults do not run unless they want to put themselves out to public shame. But you have a real concern to see the Lord Jesus. and in public parades, anywhere in the world, to climb a tree and try and hide and being rich is totally unthinkable. And sycamore trees had leaves that reached very low and had low branches. And so they were ideal for a little man like you to climb the tree. And in many ways to be hidden. And you had hoped that by now the crowd would have dispersed by the time Jesus reaches the tree. A rich man? Up a tree? Unthinkable. Not even in our culture would a rich man be found up a tree. But then you're going to get the shock of your life. For through the leaves you see this person, Jesus, coming. And looking up. And there you are in the tree. And he uses your name. Zacchaeus. Enough to make you fall out of the tree. Make haste and come down. For today I must stay at your house. This Jesus is not concerned about public opinion. He's not concerned about what people might think. I must stay at your house. Because Jesus knew that that's why he was here. He knew that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus was lost. But that day he was found. What about the crowd? There's uproar. This man, Jesus, is not concerned about what the people think. There is total uproar. He's gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Can you not think of anything more awful than that, they were really saying? He's gone to spend the night there, for that's the implication of the words. He's caused havoc among the people. And we would love to have been a fly on the wall in that house that night, wouldn't we? But I just wonder if that night Zacchaeus' hard heart was melted by the love of Christ. It was wonderfully touched by the deep, deep love of Jesus. And he became a changed man, and we know that he became a changed man. The Lord Jesus himself broke with culture. You never invite yourself to a home in the Middle East. You wait to be invited. But the Lord Jesus invited himself. Now, what would have pleased the crowd that night? Well, supposing Jesus came out after spending some time with Zacchaeus and he addressed the crowd like this. I've just spoken to Zacchaeus and I've told Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you are a collaborator. You are the oppressor of these good people. You have drained the economic lifeblood and given it to the imperialists. You have betrayed your country and your God. I told Zacchaeus that hatred of him is fully justified. I've told him to quit his job. I've told him to repent. I've told him to go to Jerusalem for purification and come back and to keep the law. And they would have cheered. Well done, Jesus. That's what you should have heard a long time ago. That bit of scum. But what we do know is that day he was made a new creation. All things passed away. All things became new. Never been heard before. Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Never been heard from a tax collector before, let alone a chief tax collector. What Zacchaeus learned that day was that he had nothing to offer Christ. Christ had everything to offer him. What Zacchaeus learned that day was remarkable grace, undeserved free favour to sinners. There's a lovely book just come out on a press by Paul Tripp, 40 Days of Grace. And I'd like to read you a little bit of the introduction to give you the taste for the rest of the book. Grace is a thunderous, expansive, powerful, and life-altering word. Other than the word God, there is no more important word that the human mind could consider and the mouth could speak. Grace is the ultimate spiritual game changer. It is the one thing that has the power to change you and everything about you. It is what all human beings need, no matter who they are or where they are. Men and women need grace. The young and the old need grace. The rich and the poor need grace. The popular and forgotten need grace. And the weak and powerful need grace. And that day, I submit to you, Zacchaeus received amazing grace. Richard Sibbes, the old Puritan, put it like this: Christ's grace is greater than our sin. And I am so grateful that that's true, and you not? The greater the sinner, the more grace is glorified. And if you know anything about revival, when the great God of heaven is on the loose, the most awful people get converted and become trophies of the most amazing grace. And also God's people end up owning up to their own sin. We have a man in our fellowship called Jason. He's a converted alcoholic. And he works with Teen Challenge. Some of the most needy people in this world. People on drink and drugs. And seeing some remarkable conversions. I have a friend, Luther, who ministers in Norwich. And he goes every month to a sex offender's prison nearby, proclaiming the gospel. Because he knows that only the gospel can change lives and bring new creations. That's why we must despair of no one and hope for anyone. Because of amazing, wonderful, glorious, sovereign grace. I want to ask you another question this morning. Are you curious? You've been coming here, maybe. You may be a child brought up in a Christian home. You've been coming here regularly over a long period of time, and yet you're on the outside. You come because you get a warm welcome. You come because you know people. But you've not had a personal encounter with Christ. Be honest, you've never had a personal encounter with Christ. And like Zacchaeus, you're hiding behind leaves in a sycamore tree. And I pray this morning that like Zacchaeus, you will be called by name. I just say to you, come to me. Come to me. Seek me, that you might find me. He knew all about Zacchaeus, and Jesus knows all about you. He has come to seek and to save. Come down from the tree of self-righteousness. Come down from hiding away from Christ. Come and own up. When my son was young, we used to go out onto the cliffs at Westcliff some Sunday afternoons, and we used to play hide and seek. But he was very good at it. And he was so good at it, I had to keep one eye open to know where he was. And he knows where you are, my friend. He knew where Zacchaeus was. And he knows about you, and he knows about your sin. And by preaching, he seeks sinners. And I pray that he'll be seeking you this morning. He'll be on his seeking mission in this place this morning, and up and down this land and throughout the world. And I pray that he will seek you and that he will find you. It's a wonderful thing when people encounter the Lord Jesus. Now, there are three shocks in this story. Zacchaeus is shocked. The crowd are shocked. And I suggest to you, the poor must have been shocked too. Imagine there being the Jericho Times, the local newspaper. You can imagine what it might look like, sound like. Jericho is rocked. The chief tax collector has been heard that he's given away half he has to the poor. Have you ever heard anything like it? And we've been to see some of these people. He's not mentioning himself. Do you know, I couldn't believe it. He came up to me and he gave me wealth. I've never heard anything like it. And I've even heard a rumour he's giving half of it to the poor. And maybe the blind man mentioned in the previous chapter was a recipient of it. Because remember this, by having his eyes open, he would have lost the sympathy vote with his begging. And he would have been in need of money as well. When Jesus touches lives, they are wonderfully changed. Think of people. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. And the implication was that he had. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this: we shall be a people who astonish the world. And the world must have been astonished that day when they discovered amazing grace in Zacchaeus. I know a dear preacher in Wales called Philip Swan. I knew his father very well. He was a very good friend of mine in the Christian ministry. He's now with the Lord. We had the most open relationship. I loved him deeply. And his son is a fine preacher. He was a physiotherapist before he went into the ministry. And he tells a story how that he went to the Christian Union Aberystwyth University many years ago. And he was a little bit nervous, and he was sitting on the front row next to a young man. And he started to talk to him. This young man said this to him. He said, "I'm not a Christian, I'm a Muslim. But there's a man on my course who is a Christian. And I've come here tonight to find out what makes him different." And he said, Philip Swan says this, "I made sure that night he heard the gospel." I have a friend down in Newlyn, near Penzance, Andrew Munson. been a harbour master most of his life. He retired a few years ago. His whole family were Christians. He has a daughter who's working as a missionary in Uganda with a Ugandan husband. He was the acting French consul. I think he still is in the area. There were a large number of French seamen. And he used to have to make decisions just when to send out the lifeboat. We were staying with them once some years ago. 3 o'clock in the morning, he had to send out the lifeboat. But he wasn't a Christian. And 40 years of prayer. And in the last few months, he has become a Christian. But he's discovered, too, that he has inoperable cancer. And in February, he was told he only had 3 or 4 more weeks to live. And he's still alive. His family have come back from Uganda. And 3 weeks ago, do you know why he was so sad? He wasn't well enough to go to the early morning prayer meeting at the church. It would have been unthinkable 6 months ago. And I love him dearly. And I would love to go and see him and talk to him about the Lord Jesus. And it seems to me that what the Lord is doing is, to quote the book of Joel, he's restoring unto him the years that the locusts have eaten. And the wonderful thing, too, that he and his wife have peace over the whole matter. What a wonderful thing it is to be a new creation, isn't it? All things are passed away, all things have become new. To him it has. But thirdly, why not leave him up the tree? That would have pleased the crowd after all, wouldn't it? They didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't want to have him around. They didn't want to know him. Here is a great mystery. God's sovereign choice of sinners. I'll tell you a secret. I like a bit of rhubarb. Love a bit of rhubarb. Ever come to your house, get a rhubarb out. Well, I went to a supermarket 2 or 3 weeks ago, as I do sometimes on a Wednesday morning. It's nice to do it on your own without the wife. You can get things done so quickly. We men are definite, you see. We look at something, we get it, and that wife sits down there 5 or 10 minutes later, they decide to buy it. Well, I bought some rhubarb, and I saw that it was 30% off. That made it even more attractive. But when I got it home, half of it was rotten. And if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have chosen it. But that is not the basis of God's choice of us. And I'm glad it's not, because if it was, I wouldn't be here this morning. He takes the most rotten at times. And by his Spirit, he conforms them to the image of his Son. And because it's all for his glory, that he might make a glorious display of the most amazing, wonderful, rich grace, he takes hold of the Zacchaeuses and makes them his children. Christ knew how bad he was, and he was willing to have him. Thomas Chalmers, the old preacher, said, talk about the expulsive power of a new nature. And there was that day the expulsive power of a new nature. And when somebody is saved, there is that expulsive power of a new nature. Things that we did, we can no longer do. And the Lord Jesus knew how bad Zacchaeus had been. And he went to Calvary to shed his precious blood for him, and to bear the punishment for his sin in his own body on the tree. For the first time in the history of eternity, he would cry out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" As he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wonderful grace. He's full of grace and truth. And he displayed it here. God's sovereign choice is a mystery. Why are you a believer here this morning? Because in some remarkable way you gave your heart to Christ? No, because God chose you in Christ even before the world was. Chosen not for good in me. You have nothing to glory in but Christ and his grace. And his blood, as that great hymn says, over a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avowed for me. And Paul the Apostle was writing to the believers at Corinth. He talked about the base things of this world as God chosen. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And then finally this morning, I want you to look at a wonderful statement of grace. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? Get a family. Salvation has come to this house. He's really saying, look, Zacchaeus, up until this moment, you have been a lost man, serving yourself, doing evil. With him there have been the love of money. A good thing had become an ultimate thing in his life, and therefore because it had become an ultimate thing, it had become an idol. You have forgotten God. But today you've been sought, and you've been found, and you've been saved. And not only that, you're a child of Abraham. For if we belong to Christ, we are Abraham's offspring. And you've shown that you are a child of Abraham by showing that you're prepared to love your neighbour as yourself. A life-transforming encounter with me, you're never the same again. And you've taken me as your Lord. Jesus selected him and passed by the rest. Because God is not under an obligation to save any of us. My problem is not, why doesn't God save everyone? But my problem is, why does God save anyone? And he saved you and me if you're believers, true believers this morning. No wonder that old hymn says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Salvation has come to this house. Are you in a house where you're not yet a believer? Are you in a house where you've not been saved by amazing grace? A child? An adult? Maybe your other half is a believer, but you're not. I don't know. Then I pray this day that by God's grace that your household will be united in Christ. And that you'll know the wonderful salvation that only Christ can give. And Christ wonderfully offers. And I would plead with you this morning, come to him as you are. Now Zacchaeus, there's no evidence that he dressed up for Christ. Christ dealt with him as he was. And he's prepared to come to you this morning and to deal with you as you are, in all your need, and to show you that he loves you, and to show you that he bore sin in his own body on the tree, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, that you would come. John Newton wrote a great hymn on this great theme. Now, John Newton, in my view, is one of the greatest men in church history, and if everybody read John Newton, we wouldn't have so many divisions today. Listen to him writing on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed the tree and thought himself unknown. But how surprised was he when Jesus called him down. The Lord beheld him though concealed, and by a word his power revealed. Thus where the gospel's preached and sinners come to hear, the hearts of some are reached before they are aware. The word directly speaks to them and seems to point them out by name. 'Tis curiosity oft brings them in the way, only the man to see and hear what he can say. But how the sinner starts to find the preacher knows his inmost mind. While thus distressing pain and sorrow fills his heart, he hears a voice again that bids his fears depart. Then, like Zacchaeus, he is blessed, and Jesus deigns to be his guest. And I pray this morning that this wonderful person, this person full of grace and truth, might become your guest, not just in your home, but also in your heart. And you will know the life-transforming encounter with the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Zacchaeus would no doubt be able to say, "What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord." And I pray that you'll be able to say this for the first time today, and that there will indeed be rejoicing in heaven over sinners repenting. Let us all pray. Our glorious God, how thankful we are for the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. And we thank you that the Saviour's grace that day reached out to Zacchaeus. And we thank you, Lord, that that grace has reached out to everyone here who's a true believer. And we long that this grace might reach out to all those who know you not. To those perhaps who are on the edge, to those perhaps, O Lord, who are halting between two opinions, may they cast themselves upon a blessed Christ and know what it is to have a life-changing encounter with him. Lord God Almighty, you know the hearts of all those who are listening this morning and even listening online. And we do pray, Lord, that you'll come and you'll meet with them, that there will be rejoicing in heaven over sinners repenting. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.